Duke and Altum, put out into the deep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, in every meaningful relationship that you or I could ever enter into, there's a moment of great risk, a moment of discomfort, uncomfortability. There comes a moment when a person says the words, "I love you," to the other person. Those are words which often get caught in our throats the first time we say them because we're not sure what's going to happen next. It's uncomfortable and it's a risky thing to say because that phrase, really what it is a challenge. It's a challenge because when a person says, "I love you," to another person, it demands a response. The other person will either respond, "Cool, thank you. You know, you're great too, friend." Or they'll say, "I love you too, and I'm glad you said it first." A relationship only becomes meaningful when someone takes a risk, when somebody steps out of their comfort zone, when somebody challenges themselves and says, "I'm going to brave the unknown. I'm going to venture out into something I've not done before, a new experience, to try something new." And that's exactly what's going on in the gospel today. When we see here, because it's from this day on that Peter's life became meaningful. It became purposeful. It became fulfilling. From that day, there was a revolution that went on in the life of Peter that set him on a course, which ultimately ends in him becoming the rock on which Christ builds his church, becoming the first pope, becoming a saint. This is the revolution that each and every one of us who are here seeking Christ today are seeking for in our lives. And Peter gives us an example about how it is to work even within our own lives today. The revolution, really what it has when you look at it, has two movements. The first movement is when Jesus knocks Peter out of his comfort zone with a challenge. And then the second movement is when Peter has to respond. He has to step out of his comfort zone and into Christ's comfort zone. See, what happens in this scene is that Jesus, he is the one who is this great itinerant preacher. And he approaches Peter, the great master fisherman, and steps into his boat. He tells him to push out from the shore so that when he is in the water, the whole shoreline can become an amphitheater, so that all those who are gathered around are able to hear the great preaching which Jesus has and the teaching for them. Then after he finishes his sermon, he turns to Peter, the dejected fisherman, and says, "Duke and Altum, push out into the deep. Lower your nets for a great catch." You know, Jesus may be an expert preacher, but it's really Peter, St. Peter, who is the one who is the master fisherman. Remember, Peter had been on this lake the entirety of his whole life. He knew it like the back of his hand. He had fished it for years and years. He knew how things went, and he knew what fishing was. He knew that daytime is the worst possible time to try and catch fish. The fish are more scared at that time. You're not going to catch anything, especially if all night you haven't caught anything. The fish just aren't biting. Better to go to sleep and come up in the following night to try again. But Jesus offers to Peter this great challenge. He offers him this challenge to trust in him. He's pushing Peter out of his own comfort zone, out of his strength, into the deep water of the lake. Really what he's doing is he's calling Peter out into the deep waters of faith, to put his faith and trust in Jesus' authority. Jesus has done his part. But now what he's doing is he's waiting for Peter to respond. What will he do? And you know what Peter does? He does it. Peter obeys Jesus not because he understands what Jesus is saying, not because he even thinks that what Jesus is proposing is a good idea. In fact, when you look and read his tone, he thinks it's ludicrous. He thinks it's crazy to do this. But what he does is he accepts Jesus' authority. The words that he speaks is, "Master, at your command, I'll lower the nets." What he's really doing is he's placing himself outside of his comfort zone. He's putting himself in a position where he's willing to take a risk, to step into Christ's comfort zone. He says, "Master, not because I want it or not because I understand what you're really asking me to do, but because you say it, because you want it, I'm willing to go out and give it a try. Duke and Altum push out into the deep. You know, in 1946, Mother Teresa of Calcutta was a sister of the Loreto nuns there in Calcutta, India. She was a teacher at an all-girls private Catholic school, and she was very happy with her life, very content. All the sisters loved what she was doing. Her students really derived a great bit of joy from her. They were willing to follow her in any way. She was so loved and so fulfilled in what she was doing. But you see, Christ was calling this young Teresa to something more. He was calling her to leave everything that she was comfortable with and to venture on with him, because he had something new for her to do. That's why on September 10th, 1946, she was traveling by train to Darjeeling for a spiritual retreat. And it was on that train that God gave her a vision and spoke intimately to her in a way which she could not deny. She was a teacher, very happy with her life, but God was calling her to something different. He was calling her to do something new and different that no other nun had ever done in the entire history of the church. This is what she says about it. She says, "At that moment, I realized that God was calling me to leave the convent, to help the poor while living among them. Never in the history of the church had a nun left her convent and lived with the poor in order to work with them. Something radically new. This was a radical decision for her, and she had to leave the security of her convent, her life, of everything she had ever loved, of her great joy, and to begin to work all over again if she would entrust herself to Christ in the deep waters of faith. This wasn't easy for her, and she describes her own temptation as she's going about this work at the very beginning, when she's leaving her comfort zone. This is what she says. She says, "Today I learned a good lesson. The poverty of the poor must be so hard for them. While I was looking for a home for myself, I walked and walked until my arms and legs ached. I thought of how much the poor must ache in body and soul while looking for home, for food, for health. Then the comfort of my former life in my convent came to me. It came to tempt me. It said, 'You have only to say the word, and all of that will be yours once again.' The tempter kept on saying this over and over again as she trudged each and every next step, aching in her own body, until she finally turned to God and cried out in this way. She turned to God and she said, 'Of my free choice, my God, out of love for you, I desire to remain and to do whatever your holy will may be in my regard.'" We know that Mother Teresa didn't turn back, that she didn't go back to the comfort zone of her convent where she felt so fulfilled. She kept on following Christ in the darkness, in the deep, in faith. And the whole world can see the results of that profound love of trusting in Jesus. But you see, brothers and sisters, these Duke and Altum moments, these moments where Jesus calls us to put out into deep waters, aren't just for the saints. They aren't just for people like St. Peter or like Mother Teresa. They're for you and me, men and women who are struggling each and every day to live out our lives today. God calls out to each and every one of us in the same way with the various things he wants us to accomplish in our lives. As we enter into this week of Lent, as Ash Wednesday comes up for us, Jesus calls us to re-examine what God has been asking you to give him today. What comfort zone is he trying to expand within your life so you could enter into his comfort zone? Really, when you sum it up, all he wants to do is he wants you to fulfill the purpose for which he's made you, which is to know him, to love him, to serve him in this life so that you can be happy with him forever in the next life. That's God's will for us. That's his desire. And when we look at the comfort zones that we have in our lives, really, they're all composed of three main sectors. Those sectors are our relationship with God, our relationship with others, and thirdly, our relationship within ourselves, our own moral integrity, our own character. And usually when God asks us, when Jesus calls out to us to push out into the deep water, he says, "I just want you to do it one sector at a time. That other thing, those other things that are going on, we can get to those later. I want you to focus on this one right now." And so is what where God is calling you today, is it in our relationship with God? Maybe I have that thought in the back of my head that our Lord has been calling me for a time to pray more, or maybe to give myself better to prayer. Maybe God has been nudging me to go to confession, but I've been ignoring that call, saying, well, now's not the right time, or I need to accumulate a few more sins before I go there because I know I'm just going to keep on sinning again. Or maybe he's been gently nudging us, inviting us to study our faith more, to get to know him better in our lives. But I've been filling my life and ignoring his call with frivolous entertainment, with watching NFL games or whatever else is distracting me from being able to fulfill this call in my life. That's our relationship with God. But maybe he's calling us to attend to that sector of our relationship with others. Maybe there's somebody in my life that I need to forgive, or somebody I need to humble myself in asking for their forgiveness. Or maybe I need to cut off or pull back from a relationship in my life that's really been dragging me down. You know, it wasn't long ago that a young lady came up to me and was talking about Lent. And she said to me, Father, you know, this whole fasting thing, what if I just fast from a relationship, give up a relationship for the whole time of Lent? Would that work? And it sort of struck me. Nobody had ever asked me that before. But I turned to her and I said, look, if God is you feel God calling you to remove yourself from a relationship for Lent, then maybe what he's really saying is he's asking you to pull back from that relationship entirely, because that relationship isn't good for you. She pondered that. That got her thinking about what God is actually calling her to do. And if there's a relationship in our life that is pulling us away from God, that's pulling us deeper into sin, then actually the best thing to do for us and for that other person is to cut ourselves off from it. To say, it's been good, but I want to meet you in the next life. So our relationship in this life has to be at a distance. But maybe God is calling us to renew our commitment to those who we are in stronger relationships with. Somebody who I've been neglecting, or somebody who I've been taking for granted, like my own spouse, or like my parents, or like my children. That's our relationship with others, but maybe the sector that God has opened for us today to re-look at is our own relationship within ourselves, our own character, our own moral integrity. Maybe there's a sort of a hidden habit of dishonesty or self-indulgence that I need to move away from. Maybe there's an area in my life that God is asking me to move deeper into discipline, which things have been getting out of control. Or maybe I need to leave behind the mediocrity that I've been living in, that idea that good enough is good enough, and rather strive for excellence in a particular area of my life. Maybe that's what God is calling us to. Duke in altum, put out into the deep. Jesus is asking each and every one of us to be willing to take a risk, to be willing to step outside of our own comfort zones, not because he wants to torture us or to bring harm into our lives, but because he actually loves us and wants us to enter more fully into that personal love that he wants to share with us. We may not understand where he's calling us, but that's okay. It's okay if we don't understand, because we're not alone. Jesus is in our boats, just as he stepped into the boat of St. Peter, just as he stepped side by side with Mother Teresa upon that train. He is strengthening you and me every single step of the way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, I will never leave you nor forsake you. For lo, I am with you always, even until the very end of the age. He wants to prove that to us again and again, just like he's going to do in this Holy Mass, where he becomes present for us, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, so that we can receive him and remain with him for the rest of our lives. Let us then trust him. Let us then give him whatever he asks for us. And let us listen and hearken to that command which he gives us to revolutionize our lives so that we can experience more deeply and profoundly his love. He calls out to us today, Duke in altum. Let us therefore then put out into the deep with Christ. Praised be Jesus Christ.